Bom dia, igreja amada. Graça e paz em nome de Jesus Cristo. And you say, amen. Amen. I just said, good morning, beloved church. Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is a typical greeting in a church in Portugal, and I love it. And I'm here just to say a couple introductory things. I want to read from Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? During Missions Conference Week, you set us up here right in the center on the platform. And a lot of the honor and glory goes to us. It goes to God. But it's not all about the preacher. It's about that last verse says, how can they preach unless they are
sent?
You are the senders. Don't forget that. And you have a Amen. Very important part to play in all that Pastor Steve explained to you in the sending process. You sent us, you might say. I don't know you, but in the Christian Missionary Alliance, it's a corporal job. We go, you send us, and you deserve a good report, and we want you to find us faithful. And hopefully we have done that. We're Mike and Ruth. We served in Brazil, in the city of São Paulo, for 24 years, and then almost 13 in Portugal. I wish we had more years to give. It has been a blessing. Yes, there's been tensions and difficulties, and Paul said that, that was in one of the Gospels that says, anyone who has left houses and lands and family will receive a hundredfold in persecutions. It just goes together. But we've got that hundredfold part, and we had the persecution part, too. So we have three children. And two of them were born in Brazil, so they have dual nationality. They're all bilingual. Let's see. We have eight grandchildren, and six of the eight are Brazilian as well, either from being born on the land or because their parents are Brazilian. And we are very happy to return to your church. You have been faithful, and it's exciting to be in the midst of you. And we'll unpack it, hopefully at the right speed.
Give it to Steve. The mic. Yeah. Well, good morning, folks. One little thing I need to tell you is that I'm from Berwick. Anybody know where Berwick is? Yeah, okay, football. But I'm from this district originally, and it was because of a pastor in this district that I'm here today. Of course, the Lord called, but they were instrumental. And I thank you. I thank the Lord for the leaders in this district that are calling people, that are challenging and sharing what the work is. So we're really glad to be with you again today. And looking at that theme, now to the harvest, that's really an encouraging bit of thinking that the Alliance had for this year for Missions Conference. And I want to tell you, when we arrived in Portugal in 2011, the very next year, the Alliance sent a video team to Portugal to document the opening of that country. We were the first missionary team of the Alliance to go into Portugal. And so they sent this video team, and they made this video that I have said since then has been prophetic for this Mission Conference, because it emphasized the harvest. And so I want to share that video with you. It's a short one, but you will understand the link that is there between 2013 and 2025 now.
We chose the north because it's the most needy part of Portugal. It's where there's the least amount of evangelical churches.
It's part of our DNA, I think, to go to areas that are the least reached. Less than 1% of the Portuguese population is evangelical.
God has a plan for the Alliance in Portugal. And so, why Portugal? Because they need Jesus, and we have him.
When Portugal was in its heyday of exploration and colonization, their husbands and fathers and uncles would go out to sea, and people would be weeping on the beach because there was no guarantee that they would come back.
Death just seems to pervade this society.
Sem dúvida, lugar muito escuro, onde as trevas prevalecem e onde muitas seitas são encontradas.
I don't know why it is, but it always seems that people are more attracted to the false than they are to the true.
The Catholic churches in Porto, on the outside, are gorgeous. I would say the inside of the churches are much more confusing.
Mary is always front and center, and Jesus is in a glass coffin.
There's, you know, a little Jesus that's dying in the corner, and Mary being crowned, and it's like, what do these people believe?
I think we need to respect Mary, but who we reverence and worship has to be the Son.
Eu não vejo verdade, eu vejo mais tradicionalismo e religiosidade. Realmente está faltando o evangelho nesse país.
The financial crisis is being very much felt here right now.
Banks foreclose on homes. People are becoming desperate.
A instabilidade financeira aqui em Portugal nos dá a oportunidade de mostrarmos que a estabilidade verdadeira existe na pessoa de Jesus.
My neighbor has had a Bible all of her life, has never read it once. There's a lamp there, but the lamp has never been turned on. So it's just as dark as a place that doesn't have the lamp.
I think we're beginning to see some cracks in the wall.
Hoje a igreja evangélica está tendo mais credibilidade do que anos atrás.
People are seeing the evangelical church in a different light now than they ever have before. I believe the seed's going to take root, and it's going to grow. And I believe that we're going to see a time of harvest that has not been seen up to this point.
Something's going to happen to all these seeds that are planted. One day they're going to sprout.
If God chooses to give us fruit now, praise God. But we need to be willing to continue sowing.
Because you know one day all this is going to come to fruition, whether I see it with my eyes or not, really isn't the point. The point is God's going to make it happen.
We talked to this retired missionary and he said, I wish I was you because this is the year. And he really felt this was the beginning of the harvest.
I can't wait to see maybe 20, 30 years from now, there'll be actually a community of people worshiping here that say, we found Jesus here because somebody in the Alliance Church in the United States and in Brazil decided to send people to minister to us.
Well, we are talking about the harvest. And help me out. What are some elements that you need in order to have a harvest? Seeds. Water. Sunshine. Equipment.
Soil.
Someone to plant. Yeah. Come on, some farmers here. I was in one church. Guy stood up and said, manure. Yeah, I got to fertilize it too. Yeah, you need all kinds of elements in there to have a harvest. And I witnessed that as a kid growing up in Berwick. We lived out in the country. My dad had a big garden, and I watched from the process when they plowed and harrowed and disked and made the rows. And we planted the seed and watched that process take place over a period of time. I understand when we're talking about the harvest, what it takes to get there. In 1993... we were sitting around a table in a team meeting in São Paulo, Brazil, where we were serving at the time, and discussing Propor 97, which was a proposal of the Brazilian Alliance to AMACUS, which was the Southern Cone Mission Agency of the Christian Missionary Alliance in South America, about going into Portugal. Brazil was riding a wave of mission interest at that point, and they were sending out a lot of missionaries, not just the Alliance, but other groups as well. There was a great number of missionaries that went out at that time. And I remember our team leader asked us and the team if anybody was interested in being a part of this Propor 97. And I don't remember all of the details around that, but I do know that Ruth and I said, yes, We wanted to be a part of that. Little did we know that God was preparing within us over the next 16 years, getting ready to go to Portugal. In the spring of 2009, go ahead and change the slide. There you go. In the spring of 2009, Ruth and I were invited by the Brazilian Christian and Missionary Alliance on a vision trip to the country of Portugal. Our regional director from South America, our regional director from Europe, the field director from Spain, the mission leader from Brazil, and the couple that would be serving with us, Danilo and Elaine, and us, we went there for about 10 days to make a vision trip. That would be like the third or fourth trip that Brazil had made to Portugal, scouting out the territory and looking to begin a work there. And so when we got back from that trip, our regional director from South America looked at us and he said, okay, you guys have 30 days to make a decision what you're going to do. If you're going to go to Portugal, you're going to do something else, what you're going to do. That's a whole other story, how the Lord led us. But at the end of that time, we said once again, yes, to Portugal. And in 2011, we found ourselves once again on Portuguese soil, our life in our bags there. But the Lord was working in that. So why do I tell that story? Because God was preparing a field where the work would take place. And he invited us to be a part of that. So fast forward now from 2011 up to 2025. And we want to share with you about that theme of now to the harvest. What's been happening in the country of Portugal over the past 12 to 13 years? A couple of scriptures I'm going to share with you this morning. First of all, in Mark chapter 4, we read these words. And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Isaiah chapter 55, God speaking, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." What a tremendous promise! What a tremendous promise. There's no reason we have to doubt that promise that came from God's mouth. So let's sow the seed, because God's going to make it grow. And then finally, in Matthew chapter 24, we read these verses, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." This verse has been a theme in the Christian and Missionary Alliance since the days of Dr. A.B. Simpson, our founder. Amazing, amazing verse. And I want to share a little parenthesis here that relates to that verse. The Joshua Project did a survey, and they found that there's approximately 17,500 ethnic language groups in this world today. 7,400 of them are considered unreached, which means less than 2% Jesus followers in those nations. Of those 17,500 ethnic groups in the world, a shrinking number we're finding have zero believers. So listen to this. In 2005, they estimated that there were 3,500 remaining ethnic groups with zero believers in them. Fast forward 10 years, 2015, 1,400 remaining ethnic groups with zero believers. In 2019, that number had dropped from 1,400 down to 300. And today, they're estimating, as of 2021 or so, a remaining 5 to 20 ethnic groups that have zero believers. You believe Jesus is close? He's coming back. There's still work to do. But how encouraging to know that that verse in Revelation that we heard this morning, every people from every tribe and tongue and nation are going to be around the throne. Can you imagine being the person that will bring the gospel, share the gospel with the last person before Jesus comes back? Wow! Wouldn't that be amazing? We need to get out and sow. We need to get out and do that. Well, Portugal is a country that when we arrived in 2011, had an evangelical community of less than 1%. Actually, it was less than 0.5%. It was about 0.4% there of the country's population. And you saw Charlotte in the video say, why Portugal? Because they need Jesus, and we have him. Why anywhere? Because we have Jesus, and they need him. Make it personal, folks. People in your neighborhood, people around the world, they need Jesus, and we have him. So the arrival of our team there in 2011 signaled the part of the process that's taken a while to come to fruition, but we have seen the principle there of Mark chapter 4 happening in Portugal. So the first thing we got to do, sow. Sow abundantly, not just a little bit. When I talked about my dad's garden, we planted corn. We did two kernels a step, two kernels a step, two kernels a step. That's not exactly how they planted in the Bible times. They had a sack of seed, and they just threw it all over the place. We need to sow, friends, abundantly. So that sowing process in the beginning when we arrived there, we attended a church called the Way Church with Pastor Samuel Paulo, good friends to this day. And his desire was to see the work grow in Portugal. There's a picture of he and his wife. And I remember we got there in that vision trip in 2009. We got there, and they were having their missions conference at that time. It was an independent church. And I remember him coming to me and saying, Mike, what would it take to have the Christian Missionary Alliance come to Portugal? Because he wanted to see his nation reached for Jesus. And he just didn't make that a wish. He put his feet to that wish, because he wrote the official letter of invitation for our whole team to come to Portugal and to be there legally in the country as ministers of the gospel. So he's a brother that with a vision to reach the Portuguese people, and that was our vision. That still is our vision this day. So when you go to a country, you have to ask, what part of the field are you going to plant in? Which field? Where? So we had decided early on that we would concentrate on northern Portugal because it is the most densely populated part of the country and the least evangelized, the least reached. And we want to go where the need is greater. And so we decided to go there had decided then on, we were looking at where we would go. If you look on that circle there, there's the blue circle there around the town of Paredes. And that's where we ended up deciding that that's where we would go. But these two gals, what was the question in jeopardy? What was the very first country that sent Alliance missionaries to Portugal? Almost gave it away. Chile, yeah. These two gals are Chilean from the Alliance in Chile. And in 2002, they felt like God was leading them to go to Portugal. They were in a prayer meeting in Porto, in the city of Porto, with some other pastors and leaders. And Wilma, there on the right, she just kept hearing this word, Paredes, Paredes, Paredes. At the end of the prayer time, she looked at the other pastors and said, I'm hearing this word, Paredes. Does this mean anything to you? And they said, well, it's a town about 20 kilometers east of Porto. And they decided, well, this is where God is calling us. So they moved there. Wilma, after 2 years, she went back to Chile, but Lily stayed on. Charlotte, our colleague, actually visited Lily there. And Lily's apartment was located just one block behind where we have our church today in the city of Paredes. God was beginning to work, and Lily would invite ladies that were working in the area to her home once or twice a week for a meal. And then she would give them from that little promise box a little promise of a Bible verse. Every time that they came, the seed was starting to be sown. Ruth and I, when we were just about a year or two after we got to Portugal, we lived in one place and moved to the town of Valongo. And there we thought, well, we're going to plant a church here. We began Sunday afternoon services in our home with around 10 people attending. We did that for 2 years. Ruth was involved in morals and education classes in the public schools. That's a whole other story, how God opened that up, but it's been a wonderful thing. And I started coaching an American football team. This church has a big part in that. I'll be sharing more about that sometime during this week, well, the youth tonight. But thank you. Thank you for helmets and other equipment. God made that a real part of our ministry. Our colleague Charlotte had neighborhood teas in her house, and so she would invite people to come in and just get to know in the community, start sowing. Well, the word Padeges, that town, that word literally means walls. Walls. That town has been known as a cemetery for missionaries. And but I said in the video, I think we're beginning to see some cracks in the wall. Whoop, that got out of wide. Go to the next one. There we go. We're beginning to see some cracks in the wall. And through Charlotte's teas, through the football ministry, and through the school ministry there that Ruth was doing, through our Brazilian colleagues who have a Down syndrome baby, and it opened up all kinds of doors for them to share the gospel with others. And there's a family that had a Down syndrome baby. They've been involved in this ministry with special needs children. God has blessed them with that. But in sowing all those seeds, the next thing we need to do is to pray earnestly. To pray earnestly. Mark chapter 4 says, a man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps, gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. We have sent for years out a prayer letter. I know Bruce and Steph have done that as well. And you've been faithful prayers for them and for us. And we thank you for that. When you get out and have a garden, what grows besides the seed that you planted? You don't have to plant those, do you? But you got to get rid of them. And so a lot of weeding has to take place as you're waiting for that seed to sprout up. Sometimes we felt like the Apostle Paul when he talked in 2 Corinthians 7:5, for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without, fear within. We need to persevere in prayer while we're waiting for that seed to take place, to grow. Our vision back in 2013 for 2021 was this that you're seeing up there. We wanted to have one or two Portuguese leaders as part of our team. That has not happened yet. You need to keep praying for that. We want to see Portuguese leaders raised up in the church. We wanted to have 45 people in attendance besides the missionary team. 2 weeks ago, I don't know what happened last Sunday, 2 weeks ago we had 55. And that average attendance has been ranging between 40 and 60. In the church services. We wanted to have 25 baptized members. We have 18. God has answered that part. We wanted to have our own space. We do now. Wanted to be involved in a social work that helps families in the community. We're part of a group that gives out 25 to 30 basic food baskets to families in the area. We wanted to have involvement in sports. Of course, I coached American football. Charlotte coached a women's flag football team for a while. And discipleship functioning regularly, that is happening. We're seeing people grow into followers of Jesus Christ. Because in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Not just teaching them everything I've commanded you, but teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. That's what we want to do. And a short-term missions project to one of the countries in Africa. Today, as we're here, there is a team from Portugal in Guinea-Bissau today. Through one of our Brazilian colleagues, she is, and her husband just came in 2022 to Portugal. And she is a dentist, and she was invited by the government in Guinea-Bissau to look at the possibility of beginning an NGO there with dental work. And the reports are astounding coming because there's lots of opposition there. The clinic that they have there, the pharmacy that they have there, the government that is not is the majority religion of that country is against that. And they are doing things like, you have to have air conditioning installed in this so you can stay open. Crazy request, but that's what they're saying. So we have our short-term missions project there, and I know God's going to do great things through that to minister to those people there. Praying, praying, praying. We have to pray. But then there does come a time for harvest. And when that time comes, we have to be faithful in reaping the harvest. What happens if you harvest too early? Is the crop good? No. What happens if you wait too late? It's also not good. That's right. There is a time for harvest. And if you have a harvest, you need a barn to store the grain in. And God gave us this building here in 2017. And you, through your giving, through your prayers, we saw this transformed into a wonderful worship center that we have there for people to come. And we thank you for giving so that that could happen and have a place to come into. The story of the cross. One of the members of my football team, his dad's a carpenter, and we asked him if he would, I asked Giga if he would ask his dad to make a cross for us, for the church. And he came back and said, yeah, dad said he would do that. So he made this beautiful solid spruce cross that we actually had some type of a cross-hanging ceremony. Jesus is not on that cross. He's in heaven. He's raised from the grave. But people that walk into the church building, that's the first thing they see back there. And actually, a couple of other football players came to see what was going on with all this. But we have a testimony of the cross of Jesus Christ, and we want to take to the nations. This was our inaugural service. The building holds 45. We had 93 that day, and the temperature was over 100 degrees. It was in July, so we were passing out water before people passed out. A wonderful service, and then we were able to take the tables out to the street, and right in front of there, and everybody passing by on the main artery in the town, we're seeing that. It was a great way to begin. Well, when you talk about the harvest, there's always the first fruits. The man on the right is Fernando. And Fernando was a construction worker in the country of Portugal and had been working with a Christian that kept witnessing to him constantly, over a number of years actually, had given him a Gideon, one of those little Gideon New Testaments. And Fernando took that and started reading God's Word. That's the only Bible he had. Well, because of his construction work and, I don't know, breathing in the dust and all of that, Fernando developed a situation in which he had a hole in his lung, a quarter-size hole. And he was put in the hospital. Because of that, the doctor said, you're going to be on oxygen the rest of your life. You're never going to work again. And Fernando in the hospital bed there, he was reading his New Testament, and he came to John chapter 11. What happened in John chapter 11? Lazarus was raised from the dead. And at the beginning of that chapter, you know, his disciples were like, hey, let's get going. Let's go make him better. And Jesus said, wait, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. Fernando read that. He got out of his hospital bed and received Christ as his Savior. We've been praying for him. And a couple weeks later, he went back to the doctor. And the doctor looked at him and said, where's your oxygen? Well, I guess I didn't feel like I needed it. They said, well, we need to check this out. They did an x-ray, and they found that that hole in his lung had completely closed. God had healed Fernando. God had healed him. And he and his family, his wife and daughter, were our first people baptized. Go ahead and change the slide there. They were our first baptisms. His son, a year later, was baptized in our church. Our first fruits there of the ministry. And do you ever ask yourself, why, God? Why? I bet nobody's ever asked that question here. In 2022, 3 years ago, God took Fernando. Not because of the lung hole, but because of COVID. And we were hoping that he was going to be one of our Portuguese leaders in the church. God had other plans. And we just said, why? But you know, at his funeral service, we as a team were invited to do his funeral service. All of his family, none of his family was saved. And we were able to share the gospel with 50 to 60 people at that funeral. It was a time, just an unprecedented time. This past week, his sister also passed away. Was not a part of the church, but had been witnessed to. God knows the heart. He knows what's done. But I know that she heard the gospel at that funeral service for her brother. And so we don't know why some of these things happen. But we do know that we need to keep on sowing, praying, and harvesting. And that's until Jesus comes back. Jesus hasn't come back yet, right? As far as I know, I'm still here. So is Pastor. But he will come back someday. And we have work to do until he comes. Sow, pray, harvest. Sow, pray, harvest. Look at that shampoo bottle. Rinse, lather, rinse, repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. Sow, pray, harvest until Jesus comes back. I don't know what any of those scenarios will mean in your life, but I know God is calling people to sow. I know God is calling all of us to pray. I know that God is calling us to harvest when it's time. The question is, what is going to be your place in that? What is God asking you to do? In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had that tremendous vision of who God is. And the question was, from God, who is going to go for us? And what was Isaiah's response? Well, hey, I know a guy down the street who might be interested in doing that. That is not what Isaiah said. What did he say? Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me.